All right. Welcome once again. It's Friday night. We've been away for a while, but you know what time it is, 7 p.m., and this is No Chaser. I'm going to take a step back. I happen to be the co-host of the show. My name is JT, and welcome the host of the show, who's been away just like I have for a little bit, but we're back now. Mac Williams, welcome, Mac.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your favorite host, Mac Williams, on the No Chaser Show with my sidekick, Jerry. We've been off for the last couple of Fridays, enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday and just taking it easy, enjoying our family. Hope you all did, too. Want to just let you guys know that Trinity Web Solutions sponsors the No Chaser Show. TrinityWebSolutions.org if you need email, domain name, website, anything you can possibly use to help your own business or your own needs bring your visibility up on the web, on the World Wide Web, please visit TrinityWebSolutions.org. All right. Well, my man, we've been gone for a while, but the news and other things have not stopped. Which that does, the news cycle never stops.
Well, before we get to that, I want to say this. We do have a caller on the line that called in just after you did. I'm not exactly sure where they're from, area code 574. We want to bring this caller in. Are you expecting anybody in particular or no?
No, but I definitely take a surprise caller. If there's somebody on the line that wants to talk, no problem. Maybe bring up a good topic. Go right ahead.
Okay. Call from the 574. Welcome to the No Chaser Show. This happens to be the co-host, JT, and also Mac, the host. What's up?
Hi.
Who are we talking to? Say that again. Call from the 574. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
I'm Buddy the Elf.
Call us back and you get a better reception. We can't hear you. You sound like you down in a tunnel like... We can't hear nothing you sound. All we hear is wobble, wobble, wobble. You sound like the teacher on Charlie Brown. Give us a call back.
Give us a
line.
Call back with a better line. You sound like you're on a speakerphone or something, and I definitely can't hear what you got to say.
My buddy Dale.
I don't know who that was, Mac, but let's go. He's gone now, so let's go.
Okay. All right. Well, I think, like I said, the news cycle doesn't stop. The big news, I guess, is the weekend is as far as sports is concerned. I want to start out saying that there's some big fights coming up in the next 2 weeks, next 2 weekends. I'm sorry. I will be at one of them. I'm going tomorrow on my way to Brooklyn to go see Paulie Malignaggi versus Zab Judah. I'm going to go to the fight at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Looking forward to going and seeing that building and seeing what it looks like and being in that excitement. It's about the second or third live fight I've been to. I think the last one I went to was Mike Tyson, I think his last fight when he was here in D.C., which was terrible.
Okay.
But I'm going tomorrow. We're going to enjoy it, have a good time. One of the guys fighting on there, Sean Porter, Showtime, actually called Sean Showtime Porter, is a guy on the rise, managed by Al Heyman, and he invited us out to the fight tomorrow. So we're going to, me and the wife are going to go for her birthday and go down there, and he said he would, get us in there. And so we're going down there tomorrow to see the fight and enjoy that. The one I really want to see is next week, which is Marcos Maidana versus the Cage and the Problem Broner, which is going to be a very, very, very good fight. So for the next 2 weekends, if you have Showtime, I'd definitely be tuning in to both of those. It's going to be pretty good on that. On the Paulie Malignaggi Zab Judah undercard is going to be Austin Trout, Andre Durrell, who I have not seen in eons, and of course Showtime Porter. So there's going to be about four fights on that show, on that card, the main card
okay.
that's going to be on show. There's a longer card than that, actually, not knowing. Never been to a real fight like that, I guess. I guess this stuff starts at 4:30, which is crazy. The fight starts at 4:30, so there's even fights below that. So they said if you come in at 4:30, you're pretty much there all night. You're sitting there watching boxing, which is kind of crazy. But we're not going to do that. So with that being said, that's exciting also. The other thing is college football. I mean, last weekend was just bananas. Michigan almost beats Ohio State as bad as they look. And I hate Ohio State. You know I hate that. I'm a Michigan man too and too. I hate them. And them suckers then got up in second place, which I find hard to believe, but I really find it hard to believe. And I just want to say this. All you Ohio State fans, if you're listening out there, please stop telling me you're going to the game because y'all ain't going to the show. You better beat the smack out of Michigan State, and I don't think that's going to happen. If you struggle with Michigan at 7-4, as bad as they've been, there's no way in the heck I think we're 7-5 now, which I think that you can beat Michigan State, who has a much better defense, who is defensively, it's just ridiculous. So my prediction is tomorrow Missouri will beat Auburn. Ohio State will lose to Michigan State, and then all will be right with the world, and we'll have Florida State and Alabama matchup.
Well, you know, I know you're from Michigan. I know that. I don't know if that's the reason why you can't stamp any teams from Ohio, but why do you despise Ohio State? I know they're in the Big 12 or Big 10, whatever you want to call them, a Big 10. And I know it's a historical rivalry between the two states and between the two colleges. Is that why, or is there any particular reason other than that?
No, that's why. That's why. Because they think they're better than us, and they're not. And you got to remember, I grew up in a time when Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes was going at it, and then when he was done, and I've been watching it for all these years, man, I can't stand Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. Now, Ohio, the state, the people of Ohio, love them people. When they come down to college, I mean, all they got is Ohio State. So I understand why they love it. I don't understand why they love Ohio State. But, you know, it's just very, very arrogant. They just think they really don't think. But as I remind all Ohio State fans all the time, no matter how long this rivalry goes on, no matter how much you talk about us or whatever else you want to say, we are still the all-time winning college football team in college football history. And and there's nothing they can do about it. That means we are the winningest program in all of college football. Not just Division I, 2, 3, whatever it is, we are the winningest. That's a record you can't take from us. And they can never catch up. They'll never catch up. Nobody will ever catch up. We would have to go years without winning. No game for them to catch up. So that is one record I always throw in their face. They don't like it. True. Don't say nothing about it. I won many bets on that question, actually, because most people don't know that. Most people say every name but Michigan. And then when they find out, look it up and find out it's true, they're always shocked. Like, really? Why would you not think that? You know, Michigan is the best. Midwest is the best. So, with that being said, but let me explain why I said this thing about it. The reason why I really think Ohio State, for one, I don't think they deserve to be there because they play a cupcake game. They don't play nobody. You know, to me, to be in the title game, to be considered to play with the elite. I know Big Ten is considered an elite conference, just like, you know, the SEC and all that. That's great. But I proved my point last weekend is that they play cupcake teams. And Ohio State was blowing teams out, okay? 50-0, 60-10, and all this crazy schedules. They ain't playing nobody. Then they come in and play Michigan, and they struggle and win by 1 point. You know, and we got decimated by Michigan State. Michigan got blown out, embarrassed, humiliated. So my thing is, if you struggle with a Michigan team and almost lost, you won by one freaking point. But one, I don't understand how that got you into the second spot, because I think Auburn deserved to go to the second spot. And they were fourth. And how is it that you beat the number one team in the country and you don't go up to number two? That blew my mind. Because I was like, I'm sorry, that's the win that should count. But they gave it to them. The voters gave it to Ohio State, no less.
Well, they got to give it to Ohio State. Ohio State's undefeated. I didn't say they got to, but the logical choice,
yeah,
because
yeah,
Ohio State was rated so high that.
I'm good with that. I understand they're undefeated. But what I'm saying is, it's funny because all these years, you know probably more than most of the people, if you watch college football a long time, you know that necessarily has not been the case. But you get
right.
automatically the game even when you do it. Because I tried to call it to Ohio State fans. I said, look, I'm trying to tell y'all playing cupcake team, and you're not giant killers. And in order to me, strength of schedule should count in where you get votes. It always has. Now, all of a sudden, for some reason, it's like everybody feels sorry for Ohio State, and I hear on the radio everybody going like, oh, Ohio State deserves it. No, they don't. Because I remember when Boise State went undefeated, and you guys told Boise State, screw you, you can't come in the game. And they were undefeated. And how many times they left Boise State out, like two or three times, undefeated, and kept their knees. And guess what they told Boise State? Strength of schedule. Now, all of a sudden, it's, well, Ohio State deserves a chance. Notre Dame coaches come out and say, well, they deserve a chance, and all this. I'm like, dude, I just don't buy Jerry the fact that Ohio State deserves it. You know, and then, of course, Ohio State can. For 2 years, we've been undefeated. I'm like, dude. I said, but what you don't understand is last year didn't count. Y'all just went through a 12-game scrimmage. That didn't count. Y'all was on probation. Y'all couldn't play nothing. I don't care if you won everything. You won every game and you got nothing. You stayed home. You wasted your time. You just had practice. You know, so don't come to me about the 2 year thing, because ain't nobody counting that. They counted this year. You know, this year, did they win every game? Yeah, undefeated. Do they deserve it? I don't think so, because they ain't playing no damn body. Auburn beat the number one team, and you put them at number three. You move Ohio State up to number two, who struggled with Michigan. My thing is, either you're going to say strength of schedule counts or it don't. And that's why I said it, and that's why I told them, I said, as long as there's human voting involved, there are voters involved, this is the wackiness that you're going to get. You know, because the people are voting for them for different reasons. And they get a lot of, you know, votes and stuff. I just think tomorrow what's going to happen is Ohio State's going to lose to Michigan, Missouri's going to beat Auburn, and then we'll have Alabama, Florida State, which will be all right with the world. Because that's the matchup that everybody really wants to see. Whether they want to admit it or not, that's what everybody wants to see. You want to see the best offense against the best. You want to see the best offense against the defense. You want to see if Alabama can really beat Florida State, as talented as they look today. I mean, they look good. Now, don't get me wrong. Florida State can play exactly, you know, the SEC and top tier players either. But I could look at them and tell they can boot. They got receivers. They got a quarterback. They got the ingredients to potentially make it a great game between Alabama. Would they win against Alabama? No, I don't think so, but I don't think it would be a blowout. And that's just what I think. But that's the game I think everybody wants to see. So nobody wants to see Ohio State, because I'm going to tell you right now, let me predict this. Remember last year, Jerry, when everybody kept talking about Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame? Mm-hmm. Remember that? Everybody
sure,
Notre Dame.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
They got next game. And they got mollywopped. It was like a man playing basketball against a wee little boy. They blew them out. Remember? And your man who got Duke thinking he had a girlfriend, he didn't. He was getting
mm-hmm.
pushed all over. He was getting pushed all over the place. He took the tackle. So what I'm saying is, these people who sit and say, I look at the eye test and strength of schedule. Ohio State ain't played nobody. Their defense, their secondary is suspect. They're not that good. Look at what Michigan did. Both teams almost put up 41 points each. So you're telling me they have a stout defense? We already know Michigan don't have no real stout defense. But they a little bit, but that's it. So you're telling me you had a 41-41, whatever it is, game. You're telling me they have some defense on them? And we look at Florida State and how they get up and down the floor with those great, with those great wide receivers and that quarterback. Come on, man. And then the dude, and then you got to remember something. Then there guy from Ohio State came out in the news. Remember what he said? We'll wipe the field with either one of them. I think we wipe the field with either one. Really? Really? Alabama, Florida State? You think you wipe the floor with them? Come on, man. Anybody who thinks, only you have to be an Ohio State fan to think that Ohio State could beat Alabama, Florida State. You have to be. Because there's no way you can look at the game and look at, especially Alabama, number one. Then you look at Florida State and you go, y'all really going to beat them? Really y'all going to beat them? Nah. So all I'm telling you is if Ohio State, by chance, by luck, by Jesus Christ coming through the door, whatever, and they get into the championship game and they play Florida State, I'm going to tell you right now, Ohio State's going to get their head. And it's going to be just like that Notre Dame-Alabama game, all over again. And you know what I'm going to tell them? These dumbass voters voted for these guys and gave them a chance. Anybody who looks at this, a monkey, could see they're not going to beat them. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen anyway. You know, and I'm not even sure even if Auburn beats Missouri, what I'm saying is, the only way Ohio State would have to blow out Michigan State for number one, they would have to beat them, number one, and beat them good. If they struggle with Michigan State and they just happen to win or they lose, let's take out the lose part. If they happen to struggle with Michigan State like they did with Michigan and barely win, and let's say Auburn beats Missouri really, really good, and Florida State ends up beating Duke, which they're going to beat the crap out of Duke, then I predict there's no way Ohio State would play in that game. I'm telling you, Auburn would leapfrog them and go into the game, and it would be Auburn versus Florida State. Either way, I don't believe Ohio State's going to play for the chip. No. And I don't think they deserve it. They don't play nobody. Now, people may disagree with me, and I like it, but hey, that's just the truth of the matter. They don't play nobody. So,
well, while you've been talking here, I've been checking out the schedule of FSU, Ohio State, and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And FSU has played four top 25 teams, Maryland, Clemson, Miami, and now they're going to play Duke, which is going to be the fourth one. Auburn,
right.
And I can see why Auburn got leapfrogged, because Auburn at the time, back in September, lost to then-ranked number six LSU handily, 35-21. But
right.
Auburn has played LSU, who's ranked, Ole Miss, who's ranked 24, Texas A&M, who's ranked 7, and Georgia, who's ranked 25, and Alabama, who's ranked 1. So they played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 top-ranked teams in the 25, and that's not even counting who they're going to play tomorrow, which is number 5, Missouri.
Right.
Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
Their schedule,
mm-hmm.
top 25 teams, 2. Number 23, Wisconsin, and number 16,
mm-hmm.
Northwestern. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying to you, that's why I'm trying to look at the score of those games when they won. And I'm like, really? And you're telling me that you're going to beat Florida State? There's no way in the hell you're going to beat Florida. You're not.
Well,
I try to tell fans, in order to prepare to play with the big boys, you have to be a giant killer. You can't play the sisters as people are tend to look now, the sisters of the poor, and then go into a game and say, we're really good, we're right, we're ready. You're looking at it like, but you can't do that. Like, you got to prepare yourself to be, you know, that'd be like Muhammad Ali fighting. That'd be like Floyd Mayweather fighting all dudes, no champions, guys who are never ranked for 17 years, and then all of a sudden he goes in there and gets a chance. It would be a massacre because you didn't prepare yourself. You haven't proven it that you can do it to yourself and to your fans and to other people. You don't deserve a shot. And if you do, you're going to get embarrassed. So that's why I kind of like I'm saying to you is that's my case I'm making. But I don't understand why all of a sudden everybody's feeling sorry for Ohio State. Oh, well, they deserve a shot. Okay, well, if that's the case, then the next time we have Gordon B. State or someone else like that, y'all keep leaving them out, but now all of a sudden you're going to let Ohio State in. Why? Because they're from the Big Ten and it's just this legacy thing? No. If they didn't play, you know, if you're going to use the same excuse of strength of schedule for everybody else, then use the strength of schedule towards Ohio State. Don't sit there and put it, because I'm telling you right now, Ohio State, Florida State is going to be the same as Alabama versus Notre Dame.
Yes.
Alabama, look, so wait a minute, Alabama versus Michigan. They smacked the crap out of Michigan. And I was like, and I knew Michigan was going to get their head popped in. And I'm a Michigan fan, but I was like, y'all can't do nothing with that offensive line and that quarterback and them veterans and them guys who are seniors and juniors. I'm going to get your head smacked.
Well,
so that's why I said I believe somehow, some way, Ohio State's not going to get in. They're not. Either they're going to do it to themselves, they're going to lose, not win big against Michigan State, or Auburn's going to leapfrog them. And I'll be honest with you, now you understand why I couldn't believe the next day, after you beat Alabama, you move Ohio State up to second, and you put them down, you move Auburn up to number four. And I'm like, how is that when you beat the best team in the country that has not lost all freaking year till now? And the way they won, and you know, you're going to tell me you put Ohio State up to them, and they just struggled with Michigan?
Well, the reason they did that is because Auburn still hasn't lost, and they lost against LSU, which Alabama destroyed, and LSU beat Auburn pretty handily. So they couldn't leapfrog up to anywhere near the one or two spot, because the fact is their one loss, if you take Alabama's matchup against the same team that Auburn lost to, it doesn't compare, so they had to drop. Even though Auburn moved up, they only moved up to four. They couldn't justify moving them up any higher.
I'm sorry, I could have justified that. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that that's usually the way it happens.
But that's why I said that's a flaw in the whole system, is that you got human beings voting, and they're not looking at it the right way. Because if Auburn knocks off, here's the thing.
Well, just also, because you knock off the number one team doesn't make you number one.
I didn't say number one, but you should have been. But they should have at least went up to number two or number three. I wasn't expecting them to go number one. I knew Florida State was going to go number one. They should have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with the number one spot. I had a problem with Oregon. Oregon almost overtook Ohio State for the third spot. They were moving up on them. But then Oregon lost not once but twice, fell down. Auburn still only had one. Because remember now, Oregon had one loss and didn't go and went down to number four. And almost in the computer tickets almost overtook Ohio State. But then they lost and faded out. So how do you have an Auburn that beats the number one and then they only go to fourth place? I'm like, that's ridiculous. Because if Oregon had won another game, the voters might have put Oregon at number three and move Ohio State down. So my thing is either way, I'm hoping is that at the end of the weekend all will be right with the world. Ohio State will be looking at
until a friend of mine got smart, anytime a Big Ten team went up against a team from Florida, I've always taken the team from Florida and clean the clock of my friend wagering-wise. Now he will never, ever bet me if there's a Florida team going up against a Big Ten team, because I've always said speed kills. And those Florida teams, they have a lot of speed, regardless of what team it is, Miami, Florida State, Florida. Those teams always have a lot of speed because they have a big crop to choose from within the state of Florida. And most of those guys know each other from competing within high schools or whatever, between those three schools. And there's a huge competition from Florida teams to get the top players coming out of Florida. But we'll wait and see, man. I'm anxious to see. I haven't watched, to tell you the truth, I haven't watched any college games, so to speak. And I'll be watching this Saturday when I get a chance to watch
Well, I hope
Ohio
you do,
State.
Because, yeah. Well, I can't. I know where I'll be. I probably won't see it, but I'll definitely hear about the news. I'll be like, thank you.
Oh, boy.
Yes, sir.
And with that being said, let me see. When's the Ohio State play? They play at night on prime time on Fox.
Yeah, but you know where I'll be at. I'll be in the box and watching the box, and I ain't tripping off that. I'll be checking out. I'm checking it out, but you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know is now well, it looks like another thing I wanted to talk about is it looks like they're looking to trade. I don't know if it's Dwayne Wade exactly, but they're looking to trade. You know, we'll see what happens with that, but. You know, I think this is what I thought it was going to be, and I think I'm going to enjoy this year. I think I'm going to enjoy it because I think I'm going to enjoy it soon. And I knew this was going to happen sooner or later. Way it was going to break down, and now it's left up to the non-dribbling, non-shooting LeBron and the Bronette, and they can't win without the Dwayne Wade. Which I find very funny because everybody hollers about LeBron being the man, he's the king, James, all that. And I'm like, but if you really are the superstar that they say you are, you should be leading your team. You should be the guy. Dwayne Wade shouldn't stop you from winning. And when they show the stats of without Dwayne Wade what they are, and of course you see them going this little kid because you know, let's be honest. I mean, it's proven. LeBron is a bit player. He's not a franchise guy. He's just not that kind of guy. He's not built like that. He's a sidekick. And the reason why I prove that is because in the way he's with them, if he's healthy, they win. It's easier for them. It's better if they win easier than they do without him. You know, because I sat there and looked at the stats on the other night when they lost. You know, LeBron had 21 points. I said, how in the hell are you supposed to be the team and you only got 21 points in the loss? Just 21? But when your man like Dwayne out there, D. Wade out there, you're getting 35, 36. So what that really means is Dwayne Wade everybody else is shooting and getting the ball off, you know, getting it off of Dwayne Wade and cooperating. But when you're out there, you're not leading. So, I mean, for me, I mean, you had a Mike Beasley that had 25 points along with LeBron, and he still couldn't win. Three people in double figures, you know. So now they're looking to trade to get some backcourt help, you know. But you know, like I said, I just think it's funny. I just think they're gonna end up, you know. I don't know. So now I don't think they're gonna try to trade Dwayne Wade. I just think they're trying to get someone to catch him. While they manage him. So in other words, we'll put him on certain nights when he feels good, but then take him off certain nights when he's not, and put somebody else in. I smell championship loss. I smell.
Hey Mac. We have the caller back from an area code 574. You want me to bring him on or no?
Yeah, bring him on. Let's see what he got. If he doesn't do it this time, we'll.
All right.
Hello?
Call from the 574. Welcome to the Chase, No Chaser. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Hello? This is Fred
Rogers.
This is Fred Rogers.
Okay. Tell us what's your question, comment, what do you got to say?
I remember one time some of our neighbors who were studying ballet dancing.
Hang on.
What the heck?
There you go. Anyway, as I was saying, this is live radio, folks. It's anything live. But anyway, what I was going to say is that they're going to try to find, I guess they're going to try to find help for D-Wade to manage his knee. I guess at night when he feels good, he won't. fight. When he feels good, he'll play. When he doesn't, he won't. I smell a championship loss this year. I was going to say that right now, the thing that impresses me the most is nobody's really talking about. They're so busy talking about the Brooklyn Nets and how they're on this kid and, you know, all this other stuff. The team that's quietly getting it done every night on a consistent basis is Indiana.
Yeah.
I don't know what got into Indiana. I don't know what pissed them off. I don't know what was said. I don't know nothing. But those guys are balling.
Grown up.
They're
grown up.
And they're
grown up.
Yeah, they're
grown up.
They have
a damn good coach that's been with them for the last few years. And you can see the progression in these guys from three seasons ago until last year. And now these guys, especially Paul George, is balling, absolutely balling.
I think, but I'm going to be honest with you, and I know you probably would disagree with me with this, but I actually think at some point, I could be wrong, but I personally think that, you know, the Brooklyn Nets will come around. I do. I think it's early to call them off to you know, push the button and the reset button and panic and all that. We
lost
about
by
June.
30 against the Knicks last night, man. 30
well,
against
you know,
the Knicks.
You're right. I mean, I didn't say they were a great team. I said I think they'll eventually right the ship. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just saying it's like, you know, it's like everybody, you know, talks about Kentucky, but they talk about Randall, and they never talk about the rest of the team. And I'm sitting here looking at it like, dude, this team's going to be a problem come March. Right now, they under the radar. Y'all ain't seeing it. But in March, you're going to find out what Kentucky's about. So I just think that right now it's early to call one team this or one team that. But I, you know, they could right the ship. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Brooklyn or New York. I have no idea.
Check this out, Mac.
Okay.
Check this out, Mac. The Eastern Conference of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this on yesterday's show, and I'll mention it again. They have two teams with a winning record. Two teams out of all the teams that are in the Eastern Conference in the NBA, there's only two teams with a winning record. Indiana, which is 17-2, Miami, which is 14-5. They have two teams that are at 500. Atlanta at 10-10 and Washington at 9-9. Everyone else has a losing record. In the Western Conference, there are nine teams that have a winning record. Nine teams that have a winning record. And wait a minute. Wait, I'm not finished yet. There are three other teams that are at 500, meaning there's only three teams in the Western Conference that have a below 500 record.
Wow.
Is that crazy or what?
That's called the pendulum swung. And that I don't know if that has to do with coaching or getting the right players. Maybe it's all of it. I mean, maybe it's all of it. I have no idea, but that is just, my goodness. I mean, yeah, that's terrible. You know,
yep.
The Spurs are looking good. The Spurs are looking good again. That's the scary part. Like, man, these dudes get older every year, and they just come back better and better because topping them, the organization knows how to pick the right people to put around them. And I'm looking at the Spurs going like, my goodness, they're going to be a problem again.
They got the second best record in the Western Conference behind Portland.
Absolutely. And that's why I said, I'm be honest with you, I smell the championship loss this year for Miami. I don't think they can deal with the Spurs. I don't think that he can. They don't have enough personnel to deal with Indiana. I don't know. Like I said, I think it'll be Indiana. I think the road to the thing is going through Miami and Indiana. The road to the chip, as far as you know, it's going to go through them too. It just looks like that right now. Now, of course, a dark horse can come out of this, you know. But I don't doubt it. I mean, I don't see it. I hope so. To be honest with you, I was looking forward to this year, the Knicks being competitive. Well, I was looking forward to seeing New York, Brooklyn fight it out, Miami, and Indiana. I wanted at least four teams to be in there that could potentially just knock the mess out, beat the stuff out of each other, you know, and make it interesting. Now it's like, okay.
Yeah, there's a problem. There's a problem, deep problem in Brooklyn. Lawrence Frank, who's assistant coach, who we all thought had Jason Kidd's ear and was trying to help him do whatever to coach, be a mm-hmm. head coach. They seem to have it falling out, and now he's to supposedly reassigned and breaking down video film or some kind of like that. And supposedly Lawrence Frank has hired a high-powered lawyer because things are sour in Brooklyn. And Jason Kidd seems like a kid absolutely lost in how to coach. And then there's a lot of dysfunction in New York. Stephen A. came out on radio yesterday saying Carmelo wants out of New York, even though they won yesterday. This is before they played Brooklyn yesterday. He's saying that his insider information saying that Carmelo wants to get out of New York. Everybody's looking to get rid of Woodson because the Knicks starting off 4-13 right now. And guys are hurt, and they're not playing well, and it's all isolation basketball with Carmelo hogging the ball. And there's a lot of disgruntlement in New York, both in New York and in Brooklyn. So it's going to take a monumental turnaround for both of those teams to do any damage or even have any relevancy in this season, in my opinion.
Well, I predict that I read the article on Lawrence Frank and him falling out, and I thought, wow, that's a lot. That's really telling on Jason Kidd. But at the same time, I look at Lawrence Frank and I go, I was Lawrence Frank. I'd be mad. I probably would. But you know what? I can just sit back and watch him bloom. I just sit back and watch it. Just watch it go through it. Since you know so much, go ahead. Let me see what you do. You know, I break down a thing to do my job, but, you know. So, you know, as I said, it's one of those things where, you know what I mean? Like I said, I never was a fan of letting Jason Kidd be the coach. I was never a fan of that. You know, but because I just think you're just too close to. You know, you usually let players go through assistant coach. You know, you go through the system, and then
sure.
you get your shot. Look what they did with, what's his name? What's the guy's name from the Lakers? He was the assistant in L.A., and they didn't pick him to be, what's his name? And they didn't pick
him to
be the coach.
Brian Shaw? You talking about Brian Shaw?
Yeah. Look how long Brian Shaw been grinding until he finally got a head coaching gig. I mean, look how long, you know, all these former players had to go through. You have to grind. I mean, look at Patrick Ewing. He's still, you know. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I just think the Russian dude just, you know, thought it was a great idea and just did it. And, you know, they did all this stuff, and I'm just like, good Lord. So, it's a mess. As far as the Carmelo thing, you know, Carmelo got to take his lump. You know, he's going to have to, you know, like I said, he's a, you know, but, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to say about Carmelo, but I just think, you know, he was in love with him a couple years ago, and now all of a sudden it's like, now I want out. Like, you know, nobody sticks together anymore. Like I said, nobody sticks together anymore like they used to back in the days. You built your team. You had the guys you wanted. You built with those four guys. You know, but basketball's changed now. You know, guys are, I think the whole culture of basketball, NBA now, is totally different and kind of boring. You know, you got all these people who, you know, they're friends and they know each other, and they say, hey, I'm going to be a free agent, you be a free agent. Okay, we're going to join our forces in this one time, on this one team, and we're going to do that. That was never done before. You know, even though people try to use different examples, like they say stuff like, you know, all the guys who went, I can't remember what they used. Some guy on the radio the other day used the example of, oh, Michael Jordan didn't do it by himself. I said, yeah, but Michael Jordan never, but guys didn't get together and talk and plan where they were going to be. They didn't sit and say, you go, you ask for me, and then I'll come over to you. Nobody planned that. That happened through trade, through draft. you know, players weren't colluding, weren't talking to each other. Because back in the day, men, guys wanted to be the franchise.
Right.
You don't want another franchise guy with you. you want to have people with you that could get down, be all-star, but you didn't want to be the man. You had people that you want to come off the bench. You want people out there with you, by your side, you know, and
compliments.
Reap the benefits.
Compliments.
Complimentary
yeah.
players, right.
Right, right.
In this day and age, you know, it's all about me. I got to get mine. I got to do this. I got to do that. And, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, it's too bad. Carmelo was in love. I mean, they were in love with Carmelo. Carmelo was in love with New York a couple of years ago, you know, and, you know, the stuff doesn't work out. You know, it doesn't work out. It worked out for LeBron and Wade for now, but, you know, long-term, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, LeBron's going to be gone next year, too, I believe. If they lose, I think LeBron's gone.
What? Do you think so?
He has an opening. This is the year his option comes up. You didn't know that?
So why would you think he'd be gone? Where would he go to?
Well, he's being real coy about Cleveland. Of course, Cleveland's trying to court him back, which I said I don't understand why y'all trying to court him back, because if a dude left me like he did, high and dry the way he did, I would never want the guy back because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, I always said he was going to go to L.A. and go with Kobe or, you know, I don't know where he'd go. I don't know where he's going, but I don't think he's going to. I think if they lose, I think he's going to leave the Heat. That's all. Because here's the thing. Think about this. It's only going to get worse. Because D-Wade's only going to get older. He's going to break down more and more. Why would you miss your chance to leave and stay? You got to. You can go somewhere else, get paid max dollars that you were going to get paid, and, you know, maybe team up with somebody else. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. But that's what I think. But like I said, if I was a Cleveland person, I wouldn't want to tie back now.
Speaking of the Black Mamba, speaking of the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, he's supposed to be coming back on Sunday.
Yes, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. You know, I'm not excited about it. I'm not an LA fan. You know, me myself, I think LA fans are scared and delusional. They cry over everything.
Why do you say that?
because they're the only people I know that. One day, love Dwight Howard. Oh, Dwight, we want you to stay. Dwight, you're a good guy. Oh, Dwight, we love you. Put up posters in the town. Then Dwight says, well, I don't want to be with you guys. You son of a B-B-B, we hate you. You done dead. You soft as a pillow. You ain't da-da-da-da-da. And I'm sitting there looking at this going like, just yesterday before he made his decision, that was your dude. Now the next day after, you call him every name in the book. You talk about him like a dog. I put on Facebook. I said, I personally think he did the right thing because y'all just showed him. Well, I made the right man. Let me tell me. Hey, Mac, you really a good guy. You know, Mac, we want you to stay on the radio network. We want you to stay here and be here. You know, we really like you. You got a class act. You know, you're a good guy. Y'all put up, you know, things on the website. Mac, hey. You know, all this other stuff. And then I say, well, you know what? I'm going to go to another network. And y'all call me every name in the book. I ain't going to be mad at y'all. Guess what I'm going to say? Well, I'm glad I'm leaving. That's how you really feel about me? You know? So, I mean, that's why I told, you know, I said it on Facebook. I told LA fans, I said, I think you made the right decision the way y'all talking. You know, you should have left. Because y'all wasn't really down for him. You took him because he was tolerated. He wasn't celebrated, so he left. I would have left too. And he's apparently very happy and doing okay. You know? And, you know, so, I mean, I think he made the right decision. But, you know, I don't know. LA is LA.
Well, what do you think about his 2-year contract, me and Kobe? $48.5 million for 2 years.
You know me, I'm a free market guy, man. Look, if I win you 5 championships, and I'm a lifelong Laker fan, and I've been there thinking too, and I'm still a franchise guy, if you want to keep me around for another 2 years because you plan to put these pieces around me, I mean, I don't begrudge it. If you can get it, get it. And if they feel like he's worth it and they want him to retire a Laker and give him another 2 years, hey, I can't be mad at him. Does he deserve it? Absolutely. I'm telling you, Jared, let me have a guy that brings me 5 straight championships. If I can give it to you, I'm going to give it to you. You my man, 100%, because we didn't have 5. So think about this. The Lakers have what? 10? 10 chips? It's about 10? They got 5 with Magic. Magic
mm-hmm.
has 5 rings.
Mm-hmm.
You have 5? Magic has 5. Now you got another 5 from Kobe. That's 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 chips. Not counting the other ones they won, but I'm just saying, you got to give that guy that money. I mean, I'm not saying you got to, but I'm just saying what they gave him, I didn't think was ridiculous. You pay a guy for good service. The same Jerry is if you work all these years at your job and in a retirement they give you a gold watch and give you a check for $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to tell you you shouldn't be there? You've been there 25 years, seen thick and thin. You've been there, you've been doing it. I can't begrudge you that. You know, I'm going to tell you, hey, look, if you can get it, get it. You know, if you put in the work and the hard work, a job should show you appreciation on your way out the door. You know, so we know he's going to retire a Lakers and he's going to go out with a bang. You know, so let him go out with a bang. I had no problem with it. I heard people, you know, tripping about it, but I was like, come on, man. I had more trouble with Robinson Cano getting a $240 million 10-year contract today from a baseball team in Seattle. And I'm like, really? I see nothing with Robinson Cano that deserves $240 million over 10 years. I don't. Remember, my Detroit Tigers just got rid of who? Prince Fielder, who they gave, $200 million over 10 years, and they just got rid of that contract because he didn't do squat.
Well, where'd he go? I didn't know that. Where'd he go?
Oh, yeah, Prince Fielder is in... Prince Fielder is in Texas with the Texas Rangers or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we traded him. We traded him and got him up out of there. And, you know, we didn't want that contract no more. That was like, what, the first year, second year? You know, Prince Fielder just didn't do it. Did great in Milwaukee, got to Detroit, and did some okay. He did okay. But for that kind of money, man, you got to put up numbers, dude. You can't be a fat dude sitting on first base and can't run bases because you're so big and you ain't hitting no box. At least if you can't run around the bases, at least hit home runs so you can trot around the joint. But when you're putting up, you know, hardly no home runs, you're not doing anything. You got to perform, man. You got to be a machine at that point. So, you know, like I said, good job for Robinson Cano. He got it on the open market. I didn't think he was going to get to under 40. I was just really, really didn't. Congrats to Jay-Z, he's his agent. We'll see what happens. But, you know, like I said, you know, I hope Robinson Cano is ready because now you're going to have to perform, buddy. You're going to have to perform. The damn going to want nothing less than you bombing and putting up stuff. It is what it is. The Texans fired Kubiak. I'm guessing you were okay with that.
Yeah, it was time for him to go. I watched the whole game yesterday, man, and it was totally undisciplined. 14 penalties, 170-something yards in penalty yardage. They had a cornerback 36 in there that was absolutely running stupid and wild, doing dumb things and causing all kinds of problems for the Texans and giving gifts and first downs to the Jaguars, and they still left him in. And that really upset me. And when he did a taunting. Now check this out: the Jaguars on fourth down didn't get the first down. They're walking off the field, and he starts talking garbage and taunting the Jaguars, and he gets a penalty thrown. And what happens?
Who does that? Who did that?
That was a rookie cornerback from the Houston Texans. He got a taunting penalty when the Jaguars were walking off the field. And they were about to punt the ball back to the Texans. So what happens? Taunting penalty gives the Jaguars a first down. The next play, he gets penalized for defensive holding. That helps him move down a little bit more, gives him another first down further down the field, and helps him get, I think, a field goal at the time. And that wasn't the only penalty that and dumb knucklehead move that he had in that game. But the first one, okay, you know, he comes on the sidelines. The head coach talked to him. He was patting his ass like, my bad, I know. Then he goes back in the game, and gets the second penalty. Right then and there, that guy's game is over. I yank him. Sit on the bench. Because totally you're not into this game. You're in for yourself. But he
right.
didn't do that. And the team as a whole was just very undisciplined. A lot of stupid-ass penalties. And like I said, 14 penalties. 174 yards they gave it out in 14 penalties. It's crazy, absolutely crazy, to a team that was a division rival and it's a very inferior team, but they scored 24 points in the first half.
Wow.
First half,
wow.
They scored 24 points. The score at the end of the game was 27-20.
Wow.
They only scored a field goal, and it was a late field goal on an interception late in the game, very late in the game, that Matt Sharp threw that caused him to kick a field goal. Otherwise, the Houston Texans shut him down in the second half, but they couldn't sustain anything because the fact is they were killing themselves on penalties and doing stupid things at the wrong time. So it is what it is, and the fact is, the head coach started the game with the rookie quarterback, and he did this move two games prior to this. He yanked the rookie quarterback out of the game, put Matt Schaub back in the game. Matt Schaub scored, I think he had a team score 10 points, whatever. And then after the game, he said he thinks he's going to have Matt Schaub be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season, when upper management had more or less gave him instructions that they wanted to see what Case Keenum could do because Matt Schaub's contract is up this year. So they wanted to see what direction they had to go because more than likely they're going to be getting the first or second round pick. So they wanted to see if Case Keenum was a franchise quarterback or they had to go out and get a quarterback in the offseason. But his thought process, meaning the head coach, was to put the veteran quarterback, which they'd have all kinds of tape on, they know what he's about, back into to win some games, which makes no sense. So the owner, on the way back from Jacksonville, decided it's time for the head coach to go and go in a different direction with an interim for the rest of the season, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, looks like that was what you told me, that looks like a very good decision. You know, so, well, next year is, I like I said, you could be the Redskins. You know, you guys are better than the Redskins. I just say that.
Oh, we're a lot better. We just had a bad season, man. Horrible season.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Just like
you guys last year, Detroit last mm-hmm. year, had a horrible season, had a lot of things go
yep.
bad, had a lot of did a lot of dumb things last year. Gave him a not too didn't have a good record. They had a hell of a lot of talent. It's just a matter of putting it together and stop doing bonehead things. At times they've done them this year, but for the most part they haven't, and the talent's showing out.
But the difference is that ownership pretty much told them you better do whatever you got to do, draft whatever, or all y'all out of here, and they went to draft. We didn't got Reggie Bush. We didn't got C.J. Anderson. We drafted great this year. We brought in more people. I mean, look at all our wide receivers are damn near over 6'5", all of them. You got four guys that can catch the ball anywhere on the field, and you got a big tight end you've already had, and you add Reggie Bush, and that front four has matured.
So right.
Now the front four is just ridiculous. I was very proud of them on Thanksgiving Day after that crap they laid the 2 weeks before. I was like, thank God. When we get on national TV, we're the only game on. Can we please do something? So I was very happy with that game. Very proud of the effort they put in. Last thing I'd like to say is I want to give a little bit of commentary about this Floyd Mayweather fact. I knew this drumbeat was going to come back and start beating again. Everybody keeps talking about, oh, man, Manny Pacquiao beat this guy. And now Mayweather should fight Pacquiao. Now Mayweather should fight Pacquiao. Let me say once and for all. I don't believe it's going to happen, period. I don't. I just think there's too many obstacles with Floyd and Manny Pacquiao's promoter to from Top Rank, not liking each other, not getting along with each other. And it's just not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. And if it does happen, let me be on record this way. If it does happen, Floyd will beat Pacquiao easier than everybody thinks he will. And if he does, the excuse will be, you watch what I say, mark my words, Jerry, he caught Pacquiao, he should have fought him 3 years ago. That's why he beat him. And I'll be honest with you, that's why I think Floyd ain't fighting. Because I think Floyd knows whether I beat him or I don't, if I beat him, I'm not going to win. Then it'll be an excuse. Because it's amazing to me how he beat Oscar De La Hoya, and now people are talking now like, yeah, when he beat Oscar De La Hoya, he was washed up. Come on, man. The dude was a champion. The dude was holding a belt. And he signed on to fight the fight. Nobody stuck a gun to his head to go make him do it. He thought he could beat him.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like he went in there and got demolished. You know, he made an interesting fight. They broke records. That set the record for a long time. So, you know, my thing is this. Floyd can beat Manny Pacquiao. I just tell anybody who thinks Floyd can't beat Manny Pacquiao, go back and look at when Floyd fought Marquez. Please go look back at the photo. When Floyd fought Marquez, Marquez was the same height, the same weight class, the same height and everything in it. Go back and look at that, Jerry. Look at that fight for me. Look at it. Look at how short he is compared to Mayweather. I'm taller than Mayweather by an inch. Okay?
Are you serious?
Huh?
Are you really?
Yes. You ever seen the picture of me? Go look at the picture of me and Floyd. I'm about an inch. About an inch taller than Floyd Mayweather. Everybody looks at the picture and go like, hey, you taller than Mayweather? I was like, yeah. Like a smidge. Now go look at the fight when he fought Marquez. And this is, now remember, this is the same Marquez who knocked out Pacquiao. When you look at how easy Floyd beat Marquez, the guy who knocked out Pacquiao and gave Pacquiao not one, not two, but almost, what, four fights? Come on, man, four tough fights? You're telling me that Floyd Mayweather beats the guy who gave you four tough fights, lost three, and won one when he knocked you out and you still haven't woken up from 6 months ago or whatever that was? Come on, man. It's been a contest. Floyd will outclass Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao can't beat him. And when it happens, they're going to all say, he's too old. He was past his prime. He never recovered from the knockout, and that's why he beat him. They'll never give him the credit, and I think that's why Floyd is going to say, I don't have to fight him. And Floyd don't want it. Really, honestly, Floyd don't feel like he don't feel like he's been solidified my legacy. Floyd's like, I can stop right now and roll out into the sunset. And I'm going Hall of Fame. I'm one of the best to ever do it. So I'm like, I can't argue with that. So all I'm saying is, all these people who are talking about, but what gets me also, the last part, what really gets me also is that people act like Brandon Rios was the guy.
Yeah, I saw your post. I'm looking at your post on Facebook.
Yeah. They act like he's the guy. How does the guy, listen, have you seen the fight yet?
Excuse me?
Have you seen the fight at all?
I didn't see the whole fight. I saw the last few two or three rounds. I didn't see the whole fight.
But be honest, Jerry, a guy who stands in front of Manny Pacquiao is gonna get his head knocked off.
Sure,
Brandon
will.
Brandon Rios is not a head mover. He doesn't move his body. He doesn't play. He doesn't have defense. His defense is his head. And then he wants to get in close with you and slug it out. But when you're a guy who has lightning quick hands and good foot movement, you're going to kill Rios all day.
Sure.
Rios ain't nobody. And like Floyd Sr. said, and he was right, until you fight Guerrero and beat him, until you fight Canelo and beat him, then maybe you're ready. But he didn't fight nobody. He fought a guy who stood in front of him, and he just hit the heavy band, basically, for 12 rounds. He hit the heavy band. And he hasn't beat nobody. So to sit and say all of a sudden because he beat Rios and got the belt, oh, now he's ready to fight Floyd. Now we want to see the Floyd fight. Man, go ahead with that. I tell Floyd, man, make the money. Don't let it make you. You got four more fights left. Get it. Get out. be done with it with your help. And I'm telling you, if he fights him, that's it. But what I really want you to do is check out when I, that's when I knew. When Floyd beat Marquez, I knew at that moment, I said, when I saw that whole fight, I said, he can beat Manny Pacquiao. Man, this dude, Marquez couldn't touch Floyd. He had a hard time reaching. You can't train height. You can't train reach. It's a disadvantage. It's a whitewash. Floyd's not going to stand in front of Manny Pacquiao and go pound, you know, toe to toe. He's not going to do it. So, you know, as I said, I just want to let everybody know, please stop talking about that fight because I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. And if it does happen, he's going to beat it. Ain't going to beat him easy. And if he beats him easy, everybody's going to give an excuse about the knockout and everything else, and he's not going to win. Just like right now. Do you believe that there's actual people? Get this. Do you actually believe that people are on Facebook, these idiots, and they're idiots. They're not ignorant. They're idiots. Are actually saying, like, basically talking like he's fought nobody. They're actually saying, like, he hasn't fought nobody. Like, a guy literally said he plays the Sisters of the Poor. I'm like, hold on. His last three fights were all belt holding. He beat Guerrero. He beat the number one guy in the world, undefeated, 22 years. Come on, man, 36 years old. He beat the guy 22 years old who's undefeated. An undefeated champion, and you're telling me you ain't beat nobody? We're talking about Guerrero, who had won for Guerrero hasn't lost in what? Seven fights? Something like that. Something ridiculous. He hadn't lost in years.
Right.
And then you beat him and you make it look easy on guys he was knocking out. And I can't remember who he fought before Guerrero. But I think I think he fought Cotto. Tough fight, but beat Cotto. So I'm just like, these are belt holders. Like, what do you want in the fight? It's not like this guy's going out fighting dudes with no belt, no credibility. I mean, everybody fights guys who aren't exactly, quote-unquote, in their whole career champions, have a belt. But this dude just took on two of the toughest opponents in boxing and beat them.
Right.
And made them look easy. So to sit and say that, well, he's fighting the Sisters of the Poor, he's fighting, I'm like, oh. When he put it on, I said, oh. I said, so Canelo now all of a sudden is Sisters of the Poor now? And I noticed everybody's making it like, oh, Canelo wasn't ready, he's young, he couldn't do nothing, this and that. I said, you know what? The dude just made $80 million. So obviously everybody didn't think it was such a whitewash. Everybody thought he was going to, you know, whoop, he was going to be a tough fight. I even thought it was going to be a tough fight. When he beat Canelo, I was like, man, can't nobody beat this dude. Come on, you know Canelo knocked Trump down. I mean, Canelo was knocking everybody out.
Right.
You know, it's just like the Ricky Hatton thing. Everybody thought Ricky Hatton was going to beat him. Not Ricky Hatton out. Embarrassing. So the only thing I'll say is, you know, please stop talking about it because Floyd's going to end up, if he fights him, he's going to beat him and he's going to beat him easily. But I don't believe it's going to happen. I know you saw the post I put up there, but if you listen to Floyd's thing, he's going to tell you. You got to fight somebody. You can't fight a guy that's running there with his head down or you with a guy who stands in front of you. That's easy to fight. You know, so anyway, with that being said, next week is what, the 13th?
Yeah. Yes.
Next we will have Tim Lavin. Tim Lavin wrote a book called Walk On You. It is about the life of walk-ons in college. Learned a lot. I skimmed over his book and I looked at it, and let me tell you, I never knew walk-ons had it so bad. When you hear about what walk-ons have to go through, Jerry and our guest here, you will learn a lot. I never knew how bad walk-ons had it and the rules and things like that. And when you hear it, you'll just be like, wow. So Tim Lavin will be with us next week. After that, we have some interesting guests. We have, we're also going to have on our show your guy, Brian Chase. And we did that great interview with him. And we're going to do part two. I finally got him to commit to part two. He's going to come on and we're going to do, he's overseas now, and we're going to do part two. I don't know if you remember Brian Chase, but a really inspirational story. Talked about what he did. I mean, remember his mother came on at the end, came on call.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's the head of a league or something like that. He was the head of a league or something like that, right?
He was heading overseas. He was going, like, overseas to play.
Yes. I know you're talking about. Yes. Okay.
So Brian is going to be back with us on January 3rd. So we're going to start out the new year with Brian Chase. We're also going to have a friend of mine named Lonnie Southall, who is actually the security director what's the guy's name? I can't remember the Latin singer. But he is going to definitely he's going to be on here. I'm going to have Lonnie Southall. He'll be on. We're also rescheduling currently right now. Rescheduling with the professor to come on again. I have him coming on. I also have Straight to the Lead, the T-shirt clothing company, coming back on.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be all in December. Most of those will be in December. Coming up in the future right now, who I'm trying to get on through Jackson. Baby Shaq is agreed to come back on. I just need to schedule him. Corey Allman, Reggie Love, Trey Kelly, and Paul Good. These are all people I'll tell you about as we go down the line. You already know about Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that. And then the rest of these guys are all ball players who are in the semi-pros or in the NBDL, trying to make their way to the NBA, but are great players around here, grew up around here, and things like that. Corey Allman, before I leave, Corey Allman is actually, I'm really going to get him on. Corey Allman is the guy who went to Sam Houston. He scored, I think, 40 points against John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins in Kentucky. Gave him fit. John Wall walked in one day. We were at the Red Bull event, and Corey was in there. And as soon as John Wall walked in the gym, he went, "Man, that guy right there can shoot." That's the first thing he said out of his mouth. "That guy right there can whoop, he can score." Automatically off the break. So it's been, like I said, there's going to be a lot of great guests coming up. I'm trying to schedule them now. But we are going to start the new year out like gangbusters. I mean, we're going to have great guests, great conversation. I know you're looking forward to Brian Chase Part 2. I know you're looking forward to Professor. I know you got questions for Professor. I sent you those videos. Did you like the videos? I meant to ask you, did you like those videos?
I'm trying to think what videos. What video? I don't recall the videos.
The professor playing Spider-Man.
Resend them to me, man, because I may have not opened them up. You had them on Facebook, right?
I had them on Facebook, but I emailed you one. I emailed you.
Email them to me again, man.
I know. Let me check it right. I'm going to make sure I did send it. It was.
And I also want to say that, and you can check with Vic, text him. Between now and Monday evening, I got a text from Vic telling me that AI is supposed to be on Sylvia's show on Monday.
Good Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Ah.
So, and he wanted some of us to call in to ask him some positive questions to AI. So, as far as I know, that's still a go. You may want to text either Sylvia or Vic to make sure that that's still a go on Monday, that AI is going to be appearing on Sylvia's show on Monday.
I will. Hey, let me do this. Before we leave, I just want everybody to know, one of our colleagues, Sylvia Crawley, lost her brother to cancer about a week or two ago.
Yes.
And I texted her today. She put it out and told her, you know, I was really sorry for her loss, you know, but I told her he's in a better place and not to fight anymore. But I just want to say that, you know, my prayers always go out to Sylvia and to her family, the loss of a brother. You know, children shouldn't die before their parents, man. It just shouldn't happen. And I really feel bad for her and her family. I know she was close to her brother. I heard he was a brilliant guy. And had a lot to give and a lot to say, and was a great guy. So, you know, as I go off the air today, you know, I just want to, you know, give a tribute to Sylvia Crawley and her brother, just say, you know, he's in a better place. And he ain't worrying about cancer no more. He don't have to worry about dying no more. And he's in a much better place than we are today. And, you know, I just want to say my condolences and my prayers go out to the Crawley family. Other than saying that, please tune into her show on Monday. She'll have AI. In fact, if she puts that out, I'm going to definitely repost that on Facebook. So that's a really, really great guest. That's a great catch, man. I'm telling you. The best thing I ever did for this, I think the best thing I ever did for this radio network, besides anything else, is I brought Sylvia.
She's a class act, man. She's a class act.
Yeah, she is. She's a great person, man. I knew she would do good at this, and I was like, man, if I had never had her on the show, we'd have never had Sylvia. That's just really crazy to me. But but I'm thankful for her. But anyway, we've got some good guests coming up in the weeks ahead. All you guys, please have a great week. God bless you all. And for me and Jerry, we'd like to just wish you guys a belated happy Thanksgiving. Hope you guys have a great Merry Christmas and enjoy the holidays with your family and friends. We will, we probably won't have one on that Friday. I'm not sure. I have to look at my schedule. But either way, we'll let you know. Jerry, thanks a lot, man. As always, great job as my sidekick again, man. I couldn't do it without you.
My pleasure.
And to Vic and to Black and all you guys for having me on here, man. Wow. It's been a great, what has it been now, 2 years?
2 years.
It's been 2 years?
Yeah.
2 years? Mm-hmm. And it's been wonderful, man. It's been a lot of fun, and it's going to get even better. So with that said, have a great weekend. I will see you guys, and if I have any pictures, Jerry, you know I'll be posting them. If I have any boxing pictures, anything to share, you know I'll be putting them on Facebook. So.
Okay.
That said, we are out. Have a great weekend, Jerry, and I will talk to you next week.
See ya.
Peace.